Well, praise God. I'm glad I'm talking in front of people I know love me, won't crucify me, or pick me apart. Okay. So this is definitely a stretch for me. So I'm just going to speak my heart this morning. God so loves the world that He gave His one and only Son. What else could He give beyond that? What makes the gospel so magnetizing is love. We live in a love-deprived world. And when you show love, it draws people. It makes the truth receivable. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I love that phrase. I don't know who came up with that, but I'm stealing it. All right. I'll start with my backstory. I got saved when I was 11. And I had a hunger to know what was in the Bible. I was attending a Catholic church. And I came across Kenneth Copeland after listening to so many preachers. And I really loved him. He made the Word come alive. You know, fast forward, I came to this church through Rose Kent. She took care of me when I was young. And God was working in my life, getting me away from false religion teachings and put me under a shepherd that I know really loves me. And I'm grateful for that. But when it came to evangelism, every time they would talk about the Great Commission or sharing your faith, I would feel like knotted up on the inside, and I did not want to do that. And it got to the point where I was condemning myself over it, and I was feeling condemned. And I'm sure that, you know, Satan's there to talk to you, you know, or a demonic spirit put you down. And so I really had a hard time progressing beyond that. Well, through the years, I would push myself through. Sometimes, you know, we'd be at a restaurant, and the waitress would be dealing with something, and I'd talk with her, and I'd like, do you mind if we pray right now for you? You know, and I felt awkward, but I prayed and did it. You know, but it was a challenge. So fast forward, about a few years ago, I was having more of a desire to do evangelism, but I needed examples. I needed, so I went online. I started reading on it, watching video after video after video. I came across a series called The Way of the Master by Ray Comfort, and that was good. And I liked the way Kirk Cameron, the former actor back in the 80s, well, he's still an actor, but he actually joined up with him and felt called to go forth in his help with his ministry. So with the way of the master, he would point out, you know, a lot of people think they're good, so they don't see their need for a savior. They don't see their need for the gospel. You come straight up to them and say, you know, Jesus died for you. You're like, okay, why? It really had no impact. So you really had to lay the foundation as to the condition of their soul, because they don't realize it. Now, obviously, there's the spiritual side, and then there's the side of the Holy Spirit convicting the person. But there's also leading them through what the Scriptures say concerning us, you know. And the Spirit will lead differently. So I started watching evangelism videos, and I probably watched over 500 of those, you know, and it was like a drug addict. What I found was it was starting to stir desire to actually reach out and actually witness to somebody. And so I was praying about it. I was praying in the Holy Spirit a lot. I was filling myself up with His Word. And I figured, well, when the time comes and I feel a prompting, then I can speak. And so I found when that time would come, it would just flow. And I'd be saying things, thinking, I'm not smart enough to come up with this. I'm not intelligent enough to make it flow like this. This is the Spirit of God. And it was refreshing. It was like, wow, this is cool. You know, thank you, Lord. And I would tell the person, don't think too highly of me. I can't do this on my own ability. I said, it's him on the inside that's making me look good right now. I said, it's not me. So it's all about grace. Try not to say too much. Sorry. So part of what helped me was God told me, you know, just show kindness to people. And at one point, he even said to me, son, don't ever underestimate the kindness, the power of my kindness within you. For it's the power of my kindness within you that will cause people to bring down the walls that they have built up due to fear to protect themselves. And when they bring down that wall, then you take the seed of my word and you plant it deep within the soil of their heart. But you don't want to do things prematurely. There's a timing to everything, you know. You don't go to a doctor and he just prescribes the same medicine, you know. He has to diagnose the situation. Well, when we come to one-on-one ministry or we're just talking to people, just be good to people. Listen to them. Give them your time. Let them know that you really care about them. And when they're ready and you have that prompting from the Spirit, interject whatever scripture comes to mind or whatever your example you have to bring light and understanding to them. The Bible says that God's word, the entrance of his word, brings light. You know, it's the word. The word has the power in it to produce what is in that seed, you know. But you can't get opportunity to plant that word until they trust you. And in this area, the spirit of fear, people not want to talk to strangers. You have to get past that fear barrier. So, and that love just brings down the walls. Perfect love casts out all fear. It casts it out. Love is greater than fear. Love is greater than hate because God is love. And love is within us. We're born of love. We're creatures of love. We're only satisfied in love. Jesus said, walk in my love and your joy will be full. Well, the opposite's true. Walk in selfishness and you'll be a miserable person. I had another word of mine I shouldn't use. Okay. Love is why we were created. The whole purpose of life. People say, what is the purpose of life? Love. And we know love. We know God, who is love, the depth, only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was willing to go to the furthest extent to buy us back from the enemy's hand. The enemy stole us from him. But the devil never has the last word. God's word is greater. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it never changes. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. And it's written that he is the word. And his word gives life, and life more abundant. So, he was shown, after watching so many of those evangelism videos, I realized that they use this pretty much the same method. They're showing them the law, that we broke the law, because the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Because without knowing that you're, you know, seeing a kind of a true picture of what your spirit is before you're born again, you think you're good because you're measuring yourself and, you know, to other things. But God is perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. One minor sin is enough to separate you from him forever, which blows our mind. But it's like, wow. So he needed that go-between. He needed the mediator's blood. So when we couldn't help ourselves, his own arm brought salvation. He sent forth his son in due time, born of a virgin, to redeem us. How great is his love? He told me, he showed me, it's good I'm learning this, and I was watching other types of evangelism. He said, but I don't want you to get in a cookie cutter mentality. You need to be more like a doctor. You need to see people as patients, and you need to listen to them until you understand what it is that they're after or what they need, where they're hurting. And then when you're prompted by me, you need to speak. And sometimes less is more. I'm learning, like, sometimes I talk too much, and God will draw me back and say, only give so much. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, his disciples said, towards leading up to the cross. He said, but you're not able to bear them now. There's a timing to everything. The right thing and the wrong time will not produce the right outcome. So it takes wisdom. Well, the word says, they that win souls is wise. So I began praying, God, fill me with wisdom. Fill me with knowledge. Give me understanding. Help me, Lord, to speak words in due season. Like you, Father, like you did to Jesus, you awakened his ear morning by morning. Morning by morning, he would hear from his Father. And his Father would download certain things into him. You know, and he grew in spirit and knowledge and understanding. And then when it finally came, he had all these resources on the inside of him. When he finally came to someone that had needed something out of those resources, he could pull that from his treasure chest and give it, you know. So basically be a reservoir with the Word of God. Fill yourself up with the Word. Fill yourself up with the Spirit by praying in the Holy Ghost. If you have not received the Holy Ghost with speaking with tongues, receive it. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's so valuable. He said, this is the rest by which I give you. You know, people with stammering tongues. When you pray in the Spirit, you all know this. You're praying not out of your head, not from your frontal lobe of your brain, which is the activity for speech. But you're bypassing that. You're truly praying from your spirit as the Spirit gives you utterance. You're praying the perfect will of God. And you don't have to work at it. It's just there. And when you do that, the more you pray in the Spirit, the more you see things align. And certain people come into your life at certain times. And it's just like he's setting you up. God's setting you up for success. He brings people. He gives you words. He brings things together. He's like the great orchestrator of all things, you know. So we don't have to. I often say to brothers in the Lord, there's no such thing as a smart sheep, but there is a sheep that appears smart because he's staying very close to the shepherd and obeying the shepherd. We don't have to be intelligent in ourselves. We just need to hear and obey.
That's right.
And he will make the way. Trust not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Commit your way to the Lord, and your paths will be made straight. So, So like I said, I began to pray for boldness. One of the prayers I was praying often was, God, since I saw fear of man was a problem, and my own insecurities and inadequacies in my mind were a problem, I started praying, God, set me free from all the forms of the fear of man so I can be free to obey you. Because if I'm blocked by that and you tell me to do something, as much as I want to obey you and please you, I can't. So you got to break these chains off of me. You got to release me so I can obey you, you know. And he does that. A lot of times he does that little by little. He'll give you someone that you're comfortable with. That, you know, is real easy to talk to. And you just share whatever words in your heart. You know. Obviously, you want to lead them to Christ. But sometimes you're just planting seeds of kindness. Sometimes you're just speaking a principle from the Word of God. Not necessarily going to salvation yet. And then sometimes you go the whole way. Or someone has already planted those seeds ahead of you. And now it's time. So discernment is key as to where they're at. You know, being led of the Spirit. I know that can sound very vague, but it's true. And you'll find yourself in situations. You know, my harvest field is work. My harvest field is the gym. I've come across so many people at the gym that I just talk to once in a while. I'll ask if, you know, they didn't, you know the Lord, are you born again? you know, or to be a believer. Recently he hooked me up with this believer. She's an older black lady, and she comes from a line of ministers, like generations, like three generations deep, I think. Man, that woman is full of the Holy Ghost. She's full of the Word. She was giving testimony how God supernaturally healed her of cancer, you know, and I'll pray for her for certain things in the middle of the gym. She'll pray for me, you know, and we don't even care. Like, if people want to join in, they can. So there's a freedom there, you know, and love does set you free. It loves you. It just sets you free to just to be what God called you to be. So it's really important to live your life with integrity. You all know this because this is the cornerstone of what Pastor Bill always is sharing. You want to minister out of your overflow and from the core of who you are. You don't want to have to be an actor in a play, so to speak, you know, a hypocrite. You know, you don't want to pretend. No one likes a con artist. No one likes someone that's fake. You want it to be real. We want God to be real to us, and we want to be real to other people. We're vessels. So it comes down to treating people the way you want to be treated. Be kind and generous. Work hard, you know. Don't steal the company's time. Be an example as much as you can be. Show honor. These things make the way, you know, it prepares the soil of people's hearts so they can receive from you. You know, you want to take away every block that the devil would try to put there in order to receive the word. Because, you know, he wants to steal that word. He wants to keep them from hearing it. And if they hear it, he doesn't want them to understand it. And if you can say, well, look at that guy. Look at this. Look what he does. It doesn't line up with what he's saying. You know, he's a hypocrite. Well, then, boom, he's not going to listen to you. So you really want to make sure that your life lines up with the words you're saying. Paul said, I don't do anything that hasn't been worked in me first by the Spirit of God. Paul was real, man. He was real. He was cool. And that's why, like, when he was going to leave the group of people near the end of the Acts, they were crying, saying, we're never going to see you again. They really loved Paul. Why? Because Paul sowed his life into the people. He was real. He was real to the point that he's willing to die for them. So it's not always what you say. It's just, are you real with people? Do you really love them? How far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to give? Not that you should be used like a doormat and, you know, you got to discern if someone's just using you, obviously, and create boundaries. But you don't want to be so guarded that you don't see the person and really want to try to meet the need, even if it's to the expense of your time or your money or your energy or whatever. Every act of love. One man said he visited heaven, and God said, he showed him a movie of his life. He said, up here, the only thing that counts is every act of love. That's the only thing that counts. Your PhDs don't matter. How smooth you are, or, you know, your businesses, how prosperous you are, it makes no difference. How well did you love? How well did you love? That's the only thing that matters. That'll pave the way for the other things that God wants to give. But love is the core. Love is the greatest, the Bible says. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbors. You love yourself. And when you do that, things will naturally happen. People will be drawn to receive Christ. And even when you need to bring a correction or you know, a lot of times, if they know how much you love you, they might not like it, but they're willing to receive it because they know that you have their best interest at heart, that you're not just trying to control them for your own purposes and for your own gain. So when it came to ministry, I was looking at this. Jesus didn't minister to Nicodemus the same way he ministered to the Samaritan woman at the well. Yes. You know, That goes back to the cookie cutter method. It's good to learn different methods, connecting with people. Just connect with where they're at. Talk about what they want to talk about. And then the opportunity arises, you know, where you could relate to them. So relating to them leads to relationship.
Yes.
So if they just feel like you have an agenda, that you really don't care about them, why should they listen? At least that's what would be in their mind. It would be in their best interest to still listen, but it's hard, you know. So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The depth of love is known by its giving. And love will pave the way. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at the right time. Just ask him for it. Just ask him for wisdom. Pray for boldness. Oh, I like that. That scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. At the end of the letter, Paul says something interesting. He says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will be fearless, making known the mystery of the gospel. So he was relying on grace, the empowerment of the Spirit. He wasn't relying on his education under Gamaliel or his understanding of the law or the prophetic scriptures. He asked for boldness and that words would be given to him. That's a very practical prayer to pray, you know, in your private time with God. And then set up the meetings, you know, give me divine appointments, bring people along my path. You know who will listen to me, who won't. When I need to be quiet, help me to discern that. When I need to speak, help me to discern that. And he will. You'll find that you can't help yourself. When you need to speak, it'll just be like bubbling out of you. And you're like, okay. So it's the grace of God. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. I don't know who first said that, but that's awesome. And you look at every man of God, maybe not every man of God, but I think so, in the Old Testament, from Moses, you know, to others, every time they were called on a mission from God, they said, I can't do it. Or, who am I? Gideon, you know. He's being called a mighty man of valor, and he's hiding from the enemies. Yeah, and he's saying he's the least of the princes in his family. Like, he's not even the highest in his own family. He said all he could see was fear. All he could see was insecurity. But if God calls you something, whether you're that at that particular moment or not, his power, his words have power to create that in you. When Saul was coming down before he became the king, it said that he came among the prophets and he was turned into another man. He was turned into another man, his heart. Saul, yeah. So, what time I? Okay, is that the right time? All right. Is there anything else I want to say? See, I'm more one-on-one type of guy, so being up here and having to fill a certain amount of time is just not in my understanding. I go with one-liners or maybe a small paragraph, and I'm good. I'm good. You know, I don't want to do a whole discourse. But let's go. Where should we go, Lord? I'm going to go to John chapter 4 and just read the woman at the well. Before I read this, God wants intimacy with each and every one of us. You know how in Jeremiah 31, it talks about a new covenant I'll make with the house of Israel, right? And then it gets further down. He said, I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to write my law upon your heart and mind, which is awesome. He's going to actually cause you to want to please him. He's going to give you a new heart. I mean, that's the power of the gospel. You change the core of the being, you change everything else. You just have to, you know, the flesh has to be crucified and the mind needs to be renewed. But the core of you is changed. God always goes to the root of the problem. He doesn't address what you can see. He addresses the heart, and then it changes from the inside out, which is awesome. But it goes down, and he says, "For all shall know me, from the least of you to the greatest." I like the fact that he is so in love and wanting to relate to the least of these. That's beautiful. That he's not catering to some king. He cares about the one that's a nobody, that thinks he's a nobody. But in God, everybody's valuable. In God, everybody is a pearl of great price. There is no such thing as a worthless person. Now, they can act worthless, you know, but they're not worthless. Given the right ingredients, they can become what they were destined to be. Never give up on people, how bad it looks. Never give up on them. So, let's start here. Now he had to go through Samaria, verse 4, chapter 4. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Notice he got tired. He wasn't operating as God. He was operating as a man, the son of man. Some people think that's heretical. I think it's beautiful. Because he is God, but he humbled himself. He emptied himself. God would humble himself and become us? Really? It just wows me. This God is so personable. When a Samaritan woman came to the draw of water, she said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew." Well, here comes this prejudice thing. "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Division. Love crosses every division, every barrier. God is not about division. He's not about prejudice, preferring one group over another. In fact, he says, if you show respect to persons, you're in sin. You need to repent. Because everyone is made to be loved. So she had two strikes against her in that society. She was a Samaritan, and she was a woman. And obviously, men had issues. So, all right. For a Jew did not associate with the Samaritans. I believe they were half Jewish. They weren't like full Jewish or something like that. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is to ask you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Notice further down he says about call your husband. She says, "Well, I have no husband." He said, "That's right. You had five husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband." But he didn't like say it in a tone that was like condemning. The way you say things, this is a good point. The way you say what you say is huge, huge. You can say the same things with a different attitude and it'll come across the wrong way. And it'll shut them down or make them feel, "Whoa, I got to get away from this person." Or you could say it as a matter of fact, okay, he had a word of knowledge from his father concerning her. He had some inside information. But notice he didn't address her sin first. He addressed her thirst. Now, I got that from another man that was preaching in California, and I thought that was awesome. He addressed her thirst. Everyone's thirsty for something. The only thing that can satisfy us is spiritual riches. The physical's nice, but the spiritual, but if you have the physical and not the spiritual side of things, you're poor. I don't care how rich you are, you're poor. If you lack love, if you lack peace, if you lack joy, you have nothing. I don't care how many dollars you have in the bank or what investments you have, how many businesses. Whoop-de-doo, it's all going to be left behind anyway. You can't even enjoy it if you're miserable. You know, love brings peace, allows for peace. Peace allows you to be in a position to receive joy. You notice love's greatest, and in the list of the fruits of the Spirit, love is put first. I believe there's a reason for that. All right. So, I want to put one more thing out. I might be jumping around. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. That woman was one of the few that he came right out and said, I'm him. Wow. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I did. Now she instantly became an evangelist. She instantly became an ambassador. Why? Because something touched her heart. Something burned within her. He connected with that woman in such a deep way that she never been connected with before. And she said, I got to tell somebody. When you find something good, it's not hard to share it. So if you don't, if things aren't in the Spirit or the Word aren't alive to you, just get in the Word, pray for revelation. Pray for something to be put in there that'll burn in you, that you'll want to share it. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you just fill yourself up until you start overflowing.